With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
1941 South Germantown Road, they are open and treating patients, and needless to say, they're taking all of the necessary health precautions to keep you and your family safe. That means pre-screening, temperature checks, air purifiers with HEPA filters everywhere, and a limited number of people in the waiting room and clinical areas. Yes, the Smile Center is currently accepting new patients, and for those of you who've lost your dental coverage due to COVID-19, the Smile Center has insurance plans available for you and your family. If you have dental insurance, let me ask you this. Have you used all of your insurance benefits for 2020? If not, you should do that before the end of the year, and there's nobody better to do it with than the Smile Center. Again, the address is 1941 South Germantown Road, Suite 101, and the phone number is 901-309-1333. It's the Smile Center, on the web, smilecentermemphis.com.
Hey, everybody, this is Coach Penny Hardaway. When I want to throw a party for friends or family, I want it to be a taste of Memphis, and that means Corky's Barbecue. Order online or call ahead and pick up at their speedy drive-thru. And be sure to tell them that Penny sent you.
We're brothers. We're happy and we're singing and we're
It's Jason and John on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Who that? Who that? Man, this what you've been waiting for. I mean, the game was all bad just a week ago. Rappers was listening, I ain't hating, though, cause now I'm getting hot enough to we wanna stay in home. And she can't tell the difference. I've been through hell conditions, wishing for air conditioning, feeling God was never listening. Now I'm on television. And did I fail the mission? Your girl is hot, a missionary, boy, you failed the mission. Speaking of positions, just witness how I elevated. Real if you celebrated, finger poke whoever hated. My life accelerated, but had to wait my turn. Then I redecorated, that mean my table. Term. Live life, might as well. Only way to learn is try and fail. Clients are the only way to earn. So if you're selling, or if you're selling rap, make sure it's mean so the fiends keep on selling back. Who that? Who that? I got that flame. Who that? Who that? I got that flame. Who that? Who that? I got that flame. So don't worry about, don't worry about my name. I got a flame.
All right. You're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Welcome to your Wednesday, September 9th. We are getting on through. We are one day away from the first game of the NFL season. That's right, Thursday night football. It sounds good. We've got KC and Houston. A couple of paid quarterbacks going at it that don't play for the Bears. That is happening. We also... What is that?
Sorry, I thought I had an NFL theme ready to go.
It's breaking glass. What in the world?
The wrong button. I had my NFL theme for you guys.
It's all good. This is better.
This is NFL.
That's what I wanted. That's what I was looking for. That's happening. Along with a whole full slate of games on Sunday. The first one should be good on Thursday night. We also wrapped up our ESPN draft last night. That's done. Mr. Auto Pick across the glass. We'll ask him a little later on, see how well that went for him, right? I know John Martin feels extra good about his team. Heard him talking about it with Calkins this morning. He couldn't help himself. How about the King last night? LeBron James was fantastic. 36.7 rebounds, 5 assists in their win over the Houston Rockets. Take a 2-1 lead. That was 112-102. He becomes, John Martin, most playoff victories passing Derek Fisher, the winningest playoff man of all time, even though he's got 3 titles.
If you'd asked me who had the most wins in playoff history before last night, I can tell you I would have gotten to about 756 names before I got to Derek Fisher. Not going to lie to you.
Fisher was there a lot, man.
That was a trivia question.
Or a lot
question.
Of teams.
That was a trivia question, a very good trivia question. Who's the playoff wins leader? You wouldn't have never guessed Derek Fisher.
It was 161. LeBron's now at 162.
Wow. So the king on his way to the throne. One more notch on his bedpost. 162. Congratulations to LeBron James.
He was fantastic.
Happy for him, really. Really happy
for him. That was a good game for about three quarters.
It was a good game for about three quarters. So anyway, yes, we have a lot to get to on the show today. At 11:25, Mark Giannotto is going to join us. We will talk to him about everything, whatever. He'll join us at 11:25. Paul Feinbaum from the Paul Feinbaum Show is going to hop on. We will discuss college football with him, what he thinks of how it looks, the future of college football this season. Memphis, lots to get to with Paul Feinbaum. We'll do that at 12:25. Then at 1:25, Jason Fitz is going to be on the show. Okay. Talk some NFL with him. He's good to go. We're going to have Jason Fitz, ladies and gentlemen. So he'll be on the show at 1:25. Last night, though, really quickly, because we did spend a little bit of time on it yesterday, so I think it's only fair to update our audience on what took place. Deacon's Angels had the first overall pick, and I think understandably so.
There's no drama there.
Went with a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Deacon's Angels, Christian.
Year, right?
It was really just what was really cool is that you drafted a religious name every single round. It was very, very cool the way you did that.
I didn't notice that.
But Christian, obviously making that up. Christian McCaffrey goes number one overall, and then
this was the thing about the draft to me.
I gotta
right?
tell
what
you,
happened at two.
I gotta tell you, you know, every year there is an idiot. There just is, and unfortunately,
Ghost Dad ain't gonna like this.
Unfortunately, this year, Bennett has stepped into that role.
What?
Brad, we can't even criticize your auto pick team first in this because it was so controversial.
We'll get there.
We'll get to the auto picks.
Yeah, that we'll get there.
But
not before this.
But I think Bennett.
Not before this.
And I don't want to make light of this. I really don't.
Yeah, be careful here.
But
now.
I think Bennett had a stroke. I really do. I think he had a stroke because he selected Derrick Henry of the Tennessee Titans. I mean, at number
that'd have been
two,
a good pick.
Now, you guys don't like the pick.
Well, let's just kind of go through a couple of the running
20
backs
years ago
that he chose Derrick Henry over: Ezekiel Elliott, Saquon Barkley, Alvin Kamara.
Running backs that actually catch the ball out of the backfield.
Yeah, like really, really, really good, proven fantasy workhorses every single year, and he went with Derrick Henry, who is like the sixth running back. Ranked, right? Like he's like the sixth. And that's assuming a year like last year. That's assuming he's going to get that kind of workload. He's got a huge contract.
I assume someone, Jessica Benson or someone picking behind him, paid him to do that.
But
you're right
no
about
one,
it.
No
not
one
enough
took
yards.
Derrick Henry number two in any fantasy in draft catches. In this country.
That's true.
It's the most controversial pick we've seen to this point.
I agree with you.
That's not happened anywhere.
No, that's
and
true.
And so, and Bennett, a fantasy expert.
He's a guru. Yeah.
Right? A guru.
Mm-hmm.
He said he was going to reach beforehand. He acknowledged that it was a reach.
My
you
man,
can't believe who he reached for.
Go gadget arms. I mean, that man reached so far. I mean, it's possible Derrick Henry wouldn't have even gone the first round.
I think
Had that not happened.
Reached like that Kawhi finger.
Oh, my God. and honestly, like the rest of it, they look at the. I mean, they're obviously mm-hmm. the rest of his roster is a total mess because
right.
of this
yeah,
decision.
Yeah, that starts it off bad.
He's the one's got to live with it.
And
need to be on the record.
I hope he enjoys his 7 touchdowns from Derrick Henry this year. I mean, he sure the hell paid for him. And obviously, the rest of the draft was drunk as hell. And then we get to Brad, who made the very controversial announcement that he was going to auto pick. Mm-hmm. He said, "We're going to auto pick, baby. We're going to do it.
The whole team.
Computer.
Going to try something new.
Yeah, you're
teach some lessons.
We're going to start calling you Camel Carson.
Yep, the computer.
Because you announced it so coolly yesterday. Mm-hmm. You're like, "We're going to auto pick, baby." Every
auto
single
pick.
Round. Every
auto
single
pick.
Round.
Mm-hmm.
And Brett, what do you think about it? What do you think about your team?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Listen, let me just defend this. You know, it's a busy world. You guys clearly did a better job than I did at drafting. I decided to go with a controversial decision to auto pick because I, you know.
You're a busy man, and your son had practice last night. We
that was
it.
Part of it. I mean, you could have it in your pocket, maybe work around it, get it done, maybe start, maybe even pick the first two rounds, especially the first two rounds, because What happens is when you auto pick and you're in that 9, 10, and 11 slot and you're not 1, 2, 3, 4, 5,
right.
You are in dog doo-doo when the computer decides to go to the running back that it has decided is one that does catch it out of the backfield, no question, but does so in a piss-poor fashion. For example, my running back, Miles Sanders.
Miles Sanders was your first overall pick.
Yep. My first overall pick.
Now, you had ninth. I mean, you had a pretty crappy
pretty late,
spot,
and,
right?
I, and yeah. I'm looking at it, and when I looked at my picks, basically, to your point about the bad pick and Derrick Henry, most of these selections are ones that could produce points because they're catching the ball, they're running the ball. But the quarterback, my quarterback's Carson Wentz. Like, I'm screwed.
If the
Eagles don't do well, I am really screwed.
Miles, I got a feeling Miles is going to be better than you think right now.
But I don't even know who my receivers are. Like, okay. I texted you guys last night. I don't know who these people are.
That's why you want to draft yourself.
Yeah, that's
the problem. As much as you can.
So people who out there are listening, he has Kenny Galladay and DJ Moore as a starting receivers. And Cooper Kupp and the flex. I mean, those are DJ Moore I'm not a huge fan of. Yeah. But, I mean, he is going to be the number one guy in Carolina. Galladay's a beast. Cooper Kupp's a PPR beast. So I actually think they're going to – I mean, now Brandon Cooks is gone.
Maybe I got sleeper players. I'm hearing you say I have sleeper players.
You just don't have the sexy names. Yeah.
I don't have names.
I think your team is thoroughly mediocre, to be quite honest with you. I mean, I think you'll
– I agree with
solid.
That.
You're probably a non-playoff team, but maybe you sneak in there kind of a thing. I mean, I think that's sort of, you know, what we're looking at.
Listen, John Morant told me something. He said, always have haters because haters – fuel the fire.
Now, but
you are betting against me, well,
no,
John
I'm not,
Martin.
I'm
you
not
are betting
I'm
against
betting
me.
I'm betting against the computer, right? I'm betting against
no question.
Not you. I'm
no,
betting,
but this is
CPU.
Part of me. It's part of me. It's part of my strategy, see? So
yeah, that's the CPU over there.
Here's the problem, because eventually the computer can't manage a roster.
Yeah, exactly. Know? See, so the human takes over.
So you might as well just pick them yourself.
Here's a good example. At the ass end of my lineup, I have Henderson. Darrell Henderson, of course, the one-time
right.
Memphis Tiger. That is my final selection. You got to get rid of him. Like, he's not going to produce for the Rams this year.
We don't know that yet. He's hurt right now. But you've got both running backs there. So
yeah,
you're
philosophically, I like to buy – like, I'm all in with the Philadelphia Eagles at this point. That's what the computer's
right.
told me. So I'm going to go get some more Eagles, and I'm going to dump Darrell Henderson. He's gone.
There you go. Yeah. So it was an eventful – it was quite the eventful evening last night in our –
Hey, shouts to CPU.
In our 92.9 league.
That's what we're going to call all year.
I will say I looked at the rosters. I think Jason Smith has the best roster, I think.
That is the projected winner
of the league right there.
It's CPU versus Jason Deacon's Angels.
Well,
week
the projected
one, so
winner
we'll
of the
see.
League is actually Marty, who does not work at 92.9.
That's not going to go well.
That's again a huge issue here. Yeah. We were told Giannotto wanted to get in, but he was not allowed.
What?
So,
where is that coming from?
From him publicly, he said it. He said the league. Well, he was told.
He is not talking to the right people. We could have made that happen.
So we'll get into that with Giannotto in the next segment. But some interesting news this morning, Jason, in the world of sports, in real life, but it kind of feels like fantasy too. The ACC, led by Mike Krzyzewski, is proposing that every single Division I basketball team next season should make the NCAA tournament. Every single one.
How is that even possible?
Well, I guess
how can you even imagine a plan like that where everybody plays?
Well, I don't know, and I think it's one of those big, you know, sort of 10,000 feet ideas, right? That the sentiment behind it is, well, we want everybody to play, and we want everybody to have a meaningful season, no matter what. Because let's be honest about it, every season, every team is not going to have a meaningful season. I'm assuming there might even be some teams that don't play because of financials or. They don't have the testing or whatever the case may be. Now, right. Memphis is not one of those teams, fortunately, but it's going to be like
Alabama State.
Exactly. You know, like your HBCUs, right? Your Hamptons, your Mississippi Valley States, those kinds of schools. So you definitely have to, take that into consideration. I think that's what the ACC is doing here. And so I applaud the sentiment and the feeling behind it. But then you start to think about, okay, well, how does this look? How do you pull this off? And what does it even mean? Because when you think about Memphis, for example, and sort of when Penny takes the job, you know, it's been, you know, four or five years since they've made the NCAA tournament when he takes the job, right? And so he's got a little bit of a rebuild. You want it to mean something when you get there. you want it to actually be satisfying to you, because I'm assuming that was a, you know, coaches and players. I mean, they're driven by sort of challenges, right? They're challenge-driven human beings, and I think if you just say at the outset, all right, everybody's getting in, well, that doesn't feel good to me. Like, that doesn't actually feel like I earned it, you know? I want to feel like I earned it. When Memphis makes the NCAA tournament again, you want to feel like they built it up, they got it back, they recruited well, they beat good teams on the way there, and they earned that berth.
Right.
And so to basically strip that all away and say, why even have a regular season at that point? In my opinion, I mean, if you just decide everybody's going to make it, no matter what, why even go through the song and dance of a regular season? I mean, I don't get it.
There hasn't been a good enough why yet to justify doing it. And this is part of it, too. We talked about uniformity and the need of having a sort of a czar in college football. Why wouldn't, if this is really a plan that you think could work, why wouldn't you talk to everybody about it first, right, rather than just releasing it from the ACC side? It reeks of you're thinking about yourself and your teams, that kind of thing. But listen, I know it sounds good, right, to think about the 349th, 350 teams in the country all getting a chance.
Yep.
But the reality of it is we don't want to see it.
Yep.
I mean, let's just be real. You don't need the bottom half of that in terms of what you want to watch, in terms of what you really consider a tournament style, right? This is because how many of those teams, John, are going to have a realistic chance of getting through?
100%.
To your point. So the why in this, I haven't seen yet it voiced why you would do it, why it makes sense enough to even get it, give it real consideration. That's the point. Sure, would it be good for Josh Pastner, for those coaches there in the ACC?
Yes.
Absolutely it would. It'd be good for Penny Hardaway.
It
He's
would.
In. You got a good team, all that. But again, you're going to have a bunch of fodder as well if you go this route.
I mean,
half could be more than half of it.
68 sometimes feels like too many.
Just where I'm going. Like we've talked about expanding the 68, and nobody's really in a rush to do that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we like where the thing is right now. And so this idea, again,
I haven't seen a good enough field why go
to that.
Well, I think there's one reason.
I need more pros.
There's one reason, and there's one reason only, and it's the money.
Moolah.
And that's it. Because obviously the longer that a tournament is, the more programming that would provide. And I understand. I get that. But my question would be, is in theory, yes, it's more programming. In theory, yes, it's more money. But, like, are we clamoring to see Kansas play Chicago State? But even Kansas would be a draw. Are we clamoring to see Alabama A&M play Chicago State? No. Nobody's tuning in for that. I'm sorry.
That's the thing.
I mean, nobody wants to see that.
You may feel time, but nobody's going to watch.
Like, yes, like, if you have a brand playing, people will watch. If you have a Florida, a Memphis, a Kansas, you know, a Texas, Oklahoma, whatever, people will tune in to watch that team play. But if you have, and by the way, you will with 300, how many dog matchups are you going to have?
Just,
a lot.
Just started at 200 with Sacred Heart and Monmouth and Cal Baptist. I'm going down the Ken Palms, just started at 200 and going down. I mean, American, Illinois, Chicago, Dartmouth, Arkansas State, Robert Morse, which actually made the tournament last year as the conference winner, Hawaii, Loyola Marymount, UTSA, University of Tennessee, I mean, Texas, San Antonio. Like, just those names alone, who's going to tune in for that? And so from that standpoint, again, it feels like participation trophy stuff, right? Going for a money grab.
Yep.
And again, the product itself will not be worth the effort.
Yeah, because to me, you're already struggling with this regular season, right? You're already having trouble sort of, what does it mean? It's shortened. What non-conference games are going to be salvaged? Which,
you really think 351, 353 teams will make it through an entire season too? Like, there's that part of it too. So then you're paring it down already.
Yeah.
Right, in terms of who can get through, in terms of COVID, all that kind of stuff. We're seeing teams postpone games in football, seeing some cancel them altogether. Do we really think all those teams are going to be able to get there?
Yep.
Like, in a year, right, where it's so up and down, isn't a tight bubble, one or two, or regionally, however you do it, with as few teams as possible, let's get to the 68, right? That's what we normally – isn't that the right move? Isn't that the right way to go?
Yep. I mean, I think you got to keep in mind, too, that I think the conference that it's coming from and emanating from is no accident.
Right.
Where, you know, you're going to be a sub-500 team in that league, you know, a lot of the time, and you may or may not make the tournament. I think the ACC is you know, I don't think it's any accident that it's coming from there. Coaches, by their nature, want more teams in the tournament. That's, of course they do, because it's a better chance for them to have job security and, you know, get their bonuses and everything like that. But, I mean, I think at some point you have to take the product into account. I think if you have 351 –
not all the bonuses that would be paid by athletic directors, I mean, that weren't expecting.
Well, I mean, you'd have to write something in.
You would have to.
Yeah, like you don't get a bonus for this year.
You'd go all the way through that.
I mean, like, even if – it's like I would feel self-conscious, you know, if I'm a basketball coach and I'm – and really, like, this is – like, if I'm Penny Hardaway, like, this is the first time I make the NCAA tournament when everybody gets in. I don't want this. I don't want it to be handed to me. I mean, that's just where I'm looking at it. Now, I think there are some coaches who would happily accept it, but I would not personally be thrilled about it. And I think it totally just erases any meaning.
Now, are we saying that here because Memphis has got a team we think can make it this year, and in another town with a radio station that where there's really not that chance, they're happy about it?
Well, yes.
Let's all do it.
Like,
because, again, sure, it sounds great, but do you deserve to be there? There's got to be some of that as well. Like, you're taking that completely out of it.
You are. You're eliminating any need for a regular season.
I mean, sure, you'd watch your little rinky-dink team locally, but, again, I tell you, from a national draw, you know, no one's going to believe in you first. Your chances, no one's going to want to watch.
Yeah.
When you've got that,
you
many,
might as well, if you're
that
gonna,
many bad teams, if enough bad teams get in as conference champs.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
But and they've earned it at that point. You won your conference tournament, you're in, you've earned it that way.
Yep.
And that's the way it should stay, especially right now in a year really where the fewer the better. And again, getting 68 would be great right now. If we were rushing to expand on 68, I could maybe start to listen to you a little bit more. But we're at a point where we like things the way they are.
Right. And I would just say that
especially from a viewership standpoint,
if you're going to go to the extreme of allowing every team in, you might as well at that point not even worry about seeding. What's the point of seeding? You might as well just draw names out of a hat. Because
it doesn't sound very thoroughly
thought. I don't want one versus whatever the number would be, whatever the last seed is. I don't need to see that. I don't need to see Villanova crush, you know, some doo-doo team. I don't need to see that. I don't want to see that.
There was no how they're doing it. That's what I'm saying. It was just the ACC. That's, you know, I'd be willing to listen if I thought there was a little bit better, a little bit stronger why you're going to this, why it's necessary, other than, hey, everybody gets a chance.
Yeah.
That's the point.
Yeah.
Number one, you're not going to have everybody playing. That's the other thing about it. You're going to have schools that can't get through, much like I feel like it's going to be here in football. So we'll see. Again, 68 feels fine. I don't think other conferences are going to fully buy into this.
Yeah. So we're
sure you'll have a few coaches.
We shall see exactly how it develops, if it gets traction. As you can imagine, there are definitely not any kind of unanimous agreements on this. So we shall see exactly what becomes of this.
CBS is going to pay for this? Like, you just believe because you're providing more content with
right.
a couple of scrubs, though, they're going to give you more money.
Yep.
I have my doubts.
Yeah. So anyway, that's the latest in college basketball. They're trying to figure it out, and this is.
I thought we had it figured out.
I did too.
That's the way to roll.
I did too.
The way it is.
All right, we'll come back. Mark Gino is going to join us. We'll ask him about his thoughts on this. If this is what we need in 2020 and 2021. If there's a better way and more. Jason and John on Eternity FM, ESPN.
Consumer investigator Andy Wise here. I've always warned you against third-party extended warranties or service plans. They can leave you high and dry without any of the protections you paid for. You should trust a local service company's maintenance plan instead. I've checked them out, and the best one in the Mid-South is the Choate's HVAC Fam Plan. Lauren Choate's here. Lauren, tell us about the Fam Plan.
Andy, think of the Choate's Fam Plan like your family buying a membership to our family's consumer protection.
Like what?
Like a 40-point heat. Heating and air inspection twice a year with 20% off your parts and repairs and up to 2 pounds of Freon every year.
Anything else?
Try a 95-point plumbing inspection with an annual free drain cleaning.
Okay, here's where the Choate's Fan Plan really gets me. You drop all service charges with the Fan Plan.
Yep.
And Choate's Fan Plan members get priority service from the line with all the benefits of your longer warranty.
Right, for just $24.99 a month.
Folks, this is the most consumer-friendly maintenance plan in the market. The Choate's Fan Plan puts your family first.
Learn more at choateshvac.com.
And remember, let our family serve your family.
Third floor study hall.
My dining room table.
Home room Monday and Tuesday. My living room Wednesday to Friday.
Wherever school is this year, Staples has amazing prices on everything like lap desks, computers, and UV sanitizers. This week, the 15-inch Lenovo IdeaPad 3 laptop with Intel Core i3 processor is just $399. You save $130. Shop in-store, order online, or pick up curbside. School on, save on. Staples. Ends 9/12. While supplies last, curbside available in most stores.
For muscle pain, body aches, to strains, Blue Emu Maximum Arthritis. It works fast and you won't stink. Its unique formula with emu oil penetrates deep to relieve arthritis pain, sore muscles, joints, and more.
Wendy's famous 4-for-4 is heating up with a new spicy crispy chicken sandwich. The Queen of Spice is delivering that spicy chicken you love with lettuce and mayo between two deliciously soft buns. And yes, in classic 4-for-4 fashion, you can get all that spicy goodness with spicy or crispy nuggets, fries, and a drink to cool off, all for just $4. Is it getting hot in here? Or did Wendy's just deliver the hottest deal in fast food? We got you.
Offer includes 4-piece nuggets, junior fry, and value drink. Price of participation may vary.
Indeed knows a lot of small businesses took a hit recently and are busy trying to figure out plans for the future. So if you're hiring, it means finding the right people is more critical than ever before. Indeed will help you find the quality candidates you need while only paying for what you need. Claim your $75 credit to get more quality candidates fast when you post your first job at Indeed.com/high impact. That's Indeed.com/high impact. Terms and conditions apply.
Injured? Dial #529 on your cell. Pound law, that's all.
Now, back to the Jason and John Show. Jason Smith and John Martin on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis' sports station.
Mark Giannotto is a sports columnist over at The Commercial Appeal. He's the host of Giannotto and Jeffrey. He joins us every single Wednesday, and he joins us now. Mark, what's happening, man?
Not much. I so rarely go down to downtown Memphis now during this whole, because, you know, usually when I would go downtown, it'd be to go to the Commercial Appeal office or to go to FedEx Forum. And, like, I've had so few, I think I've been downtown, like, 5 times since March, and I'm actually headed downtown right now for something, which is nice.
Yes, good to get.
Sounds secretive.
No, it's not too secretive, but I'd rather not. It's something related to the Commercial Appeal. I'll just leave it at that.
Interesting. Can I text you about it off the air?
I guess it's not that sexy. Answer I don't me. Think you'll be that interested in it.
All right, can you address something really quickly here, just for the record? You wanted in the 92.9 league, but you were rebuffed.
Not aware.
So I was told, but I think it was, I'm going to call our producer, Connor Dunning, and I can't remember if Bennett was involved in the discussion or not, but I distinctly remember Connor telling me the league was full. There was no room for me. Last year, I believe you invited me to play in the league, John, and I said I didn't have time. Yeah, I'm still new at balancing the whole columnist and radio host thing. I'm the commissioner of a league with my college friends. I was like, I don't have time for this.
Just auto draft.
But this year, what's that?
I said you could have just auto draft.
That's what we do in this league.
So I'm gonna be honest. I heard that discussion. I hate to say this, Brad. If you were in we kick people out of our league who decide to auto draft. No. If you don't have time to draft, you shouldn't be in the league.
But here's the issue.
No CPU.
Here's the issue. We didn't have a substitute.
It could have been you, Mark.
We didn't have he's number 10.
I would have been willing to give you my slot. I've got so many championships already.
If we had a solution.
If we kick him out, right?
You know, I don't think people are being proactive enough on the staff. Clearly, we could have gotten you into the league, A.
If you really want to be bad enough,
you should have said something to me.
Didn't have enough pool.
Who are we blaming?
I'm blaming everybody.
everybody's getting blamed here. Well, I invite Giannotto to the league every single year.
Yeah.
I mean, I am so much of a team guy, it's ridiculous.
We can put a man on the moon. We can put you in the fantasy.
Here's what we should have asked you, Mark, as the Washington resident here, as the Washington Football Club fan. How high do you take an Antonio Gibson? Is he going to be the starter? Is he going to be a stud there?
Well, the depth chart they released yesterday, I believe, this guy, J.D. McKissic, is technically listed as the starter. Mm. The way I would advise people and the way it sounds from reading stories and listening to what the coaches are saying in D.C., Antonio Gibson's going to be used a lot. Like, I don't know if he'll be like Alvin Kamara was with the New Orleans Saints, but that's how he's going to be used. He's not going to be an every down back, but my gut tells me when you look at the number of snaps that running backs play for the Redskins, certainly at the beginning of the season, he'll probably play more snaps than other running backs because they're going to use him as a receiver, as a runner. But the sense I get is it's going to be an Alvin Kamara type of role for Antonio Gibson, not a true featured back just yet.
Well, that's I think most people would gladly accept that if they have him on their fantasy team, like a poor man's, you know, Alvin Kamara. I think that's absolutely a comparison people would love to have.
Poor man's with you know, Dwayne Haskins is a bit of a step down from Drew Brees. Yeah. Just a little.
So interesting developments today in college basketball. We'll see if it goes anywhere, but the ACC. Is proposing that every team from Division I makes the NCAA tournament in 2021. Does this make any sense to you? Are you a fan of it? Do you hate it? Where do you come down on this proposal by the ACC?
I don't hate it. Hate is a strong word. I am against it. I don't think it sounds kind of stupid to me. It just feels like, I mean, I guess maybe, would this mean more money, I guess?
They're hoping.
Because you have two or three extra rounds of NCAA tournament, but at the same time, you're really just adding a whole bunch of blowout games in a lot, you know, like if we're having all 350, like that first round, I guess the team's in the middle, but that'll be like, you know, it'll be like a horizon, you know, the good games will be like a Horizon League team against, you know, some middling Power 5 team, and like we don't watch those games during the regular season, and so maybe because it's NCAA tournament, more people will watch it, and I guess it's more money. But the reasoning they're giving is just to add meaning to the season, and I think it takes away meaning from the season. If anything, it means whatever games they play before the NCAA tournament, largely, especially for the major seven conferences, if you will, it takes away some of the meaning of those games. So I don't like it. I don't hate it. I guess I understand why they're trying to do it, but the only logical reason to me is that it's not that it adds meaning. It's that it adds some dollars to the NCAA's coffers because of all the money they lost from not having the NCAA tournament last year. So now you add two or three extra rounds of games, and you can make some more money that way. I guess if you explain it to me that way, I'd be like, all right, I guess if you feel like you need the money in these times, maybe. But I think it takes away meaning from the season. It would make, for instance, last year when I know we didn't have an NCAA tournament. Last year, that last game of the regular season when Memphis played Houston at Houston. Like, that game wouldn't matter if all 351 teams made the state tournament. But, like, because, you know, Memphis was on the bubble and Houston is scratching and clawing for seeding, like, that game mattered. I'm against it, I would say. Yeah. I don't hate it. I don't have enough emotion about it to hate it.
Right.
But I'm definitely against it.
Well, I mean, for me, and again, maybe I'm totally looking at this the wrong way, but if I'm Penny Hardaway – and I take this job at Memphis, and I know that it's going to take some time. It's going to be a little bit of a rebuild, and I'm going to have to get my guys in here, and I'm going to have to do X, Y, and Z to get back to the NCAA tournament. I want that journey to be rewarding, right? When you finally get to a point where and obviously last season was not rewarding. Last season was taxing. Last season was a drag of a year. But You know, I want that moment when they get to the NCAA tournament. I would want it to be satisfying and fulfilling and like, man, we had to do this. We had to go through this to get here. So it would sort of help us appreciate the destination a little bit more. And if you tell me at the outset, everybody's in, it's like, that's underwhelming for me. Like, that's not very rewarding for, I would want anything I accomplish in life to actually mean something. And I think, you know, decisively, this would not be meaningful.
Yeah, no, you're right. It would take away, you know, you wouldn't, like, yes, it'd be, you know, Memphis hasn't made the NCAA tournament since 2014, I believe. And so, you want it, like, that is an important distinction, being able to be that first team since 2014 to make the NCAA tournament. And if next year's team was that team simply because everyone's getting in, it wouldn't really, like, it wouldn't carry much significance, to be honest. The other thing is, I don't know, would this save people's jobs?
We're talking about this, like, you're going to rewrite clauses into these coaches' contracts that you will not be paid a bonus.
Or at least not the bonus you were going to
in get. 2020, 2021, because everybody's getting into the NCAA tournament. I mean, that's just ridiculous. I mean, I think I understand the sentiment behind it for the ACC. They want everybody to play. They want everybody to have something to look forward to. But, I mean, in practice, it's just not it doesn't feel to me like a very – I mean, who is going to watch? Because here's the deal. If 351 teams play, you are going to get some absolute dog crap matchups, right? Like, you're going to get Alabama A&M versus Chicago State. It's inevitable. You're going to get that. And so who is going to tune in to watch that? The answer is nobody. I don't want to see that. There are sometimes I don't even tune into the 1 versus 16 at all because I know it's going to happen 99.9% of the time. You know, so to imagine what happens when you remove a 1 seed and a brand from that game. Nobody's going to tune in to watch that crap.
Well, and here's the question I have as we get more – is there a format that's different than 1 versus 351 or whatever, you know, whatever that is? Is this taking the place of conference tournaments? Or, you know, will you have, like, you know, a mock tournament but call it the NCAA tournament? That's a question I have, too. Like, what is the exact format of this in terms of how you implement it if you're going to do it? Because I think you're right. Doing it if it's just going to be 351 teams and we're going to create this big bracket that looks like the NCAA tournament, the 68 team field just with 351 teams, it's like, yeah, there's just going to be a lot of bad basketball games, and I don't see what the benefit of that is for anyone involved. I guess for some of these schools that never make the NCAA tournament, they can say they made the NCAA tournament, but like you said, with Memphis, it's just like, where's the luster in that? Where's the, you know, no one says I made the ACC, I made my conference tournament, and that's essentially what this would be. It'd be just one giant conference tournament. And so, I would also say it feels like if the ACC wouldn't have come out alone on this, like why aren't other conferences announcing this jointly with them? Like, I wonder if they brought this to other conferences and other conferences have been like, so they're going out in front because they want to do it and see if they can sway public opinion by putting this out there. Yeah. But I'm with you, John. I think, like, the tournament's great the way it is right now. Like, I don't understand just because, you know, does this mean – the other question I have is, you know, what does this mean about the regular season? It seems weirdly timed with the fact that over the last, it seems like 24, 48 hours over the last week, we've gotten a more clear picture of kind of what, it's still fuzzy what the regular season is going to look like, but we're starting to get a sense, you know, there's a decent chance it starts November 25th, decent chance these non-conference games that you had scheduled you'll play fewer non-conference games than you had scheduled, and they'll probably be bubble situations where you're going somewhere with, you know, seven other teams and playing four games in a week and a half or 2 week span. And then, you know, I guess you have conference play, but like logistically, with 351 teams. Like, how are you going to pull a – how does that make sense from a pandemic standpoint also? Like, having 351 teams in a bubble?
Right.
That seems like – or 351 teams spread around eight bubbles? That sounds – I don't know. Logistically, that sounds very difficult.
It will be. 37-24, Memphis Tigers win their season opener over at Arkansas State. You were there. In terms of outlook for the rest of the season, Mark, what would you say was the most encouraging thing or the most important development for Memphis in that first game? Don't want to try to draw too much, but in terms of things you saw, you know, what shakes out? What's going to shake out well for Memphis because that happened? Like Clark and Watkins, the way they looked, Brady's control, Sean Dykes emerging as it looks like a go-to guy this year if he can stay healthy. In terms of the things that happened, what was the most encouraging, the most important thing?
I thought it was the way Brady White looked, and taking out the one, you know, he had that one really bad interception. But other than that, I thought he looked like the Brady White who we saw emerge in the second half of last year. And I think, you know, when you have he looks like he is a great, certainly at the AAC level, a great quarterback.
Bet.
And when you have a great quarterback, you can go far. Like, nothing about that game. Like, I don't know. I don't take away too much from that one game. I think I want to see what they do against Houston in 2 weeks. Like, if they come out and thump Houston, you know, get a convincing win over Houston, then I'll start forming some, I guess, conclusions about this team. But Saturday's game didn't change anything in terms of what I think they could accomplish if things work out. Because when you have a quarterback, an experienced quarterback like Brady White, he can go win you games. And I think what it seems like to me, ultimately what this Memphis team does this year, you know, they could lose games other than the Cincinnati and UCF games. You know, when you look at the schedule, that's always a possibility. But ultimately to me, where this season ends up, how they do, will come down to what they do in those two games against UCF and Cincinnati. You go 2-0 in those two games, I think you got a pretty good shot at winning the conference again. Probably a really good shot at winning the conference again. You go 1-1, I still think it's a possibility you're in the championship game. You go 0-2, you're probably not going to go to the championship game. And nothing I saw Saturday told me this team can't beat Cincinnati or can't beat UCF. They see, you know, maybe they're not quite as explosive as last year. I want to wait to make a conclusion like that, but they seem pretty darn good. And I'm waiting to see just how good. To me, it feels like the floor for this team is like 7-3, but they could go, you know, it could be a really special season too.
Yeah, we're of course talking to Mark Giannotto, sports columnist over at The Commercial Appeal. You can hear him every afternoon here on 92.9 from 2 until 4 with Jeffrey Wright. Justin Timberlake, you familiar?
Mm-hmm. I think I know the name, yeah.
He has, and this is another, he continues to give back to Memphis. I mean, it's honestly, it's amazing. He has become an investor and joined an effort to bring Major League Baseball to, oh, that says Nashville.
Mm. Well, that's where he lives.
That says Nashville. So at this point, you're not from Memphis. Do you consider Justin Timberlake, do you associate him with Memphis at all?
I sort of do, but I understand the sentiment. Like, he's, you know, he doesn't have a house around here anymore. The house he has in the state of Tennessee is in the Nashville area, correct?
Brimwood, yeah, I think so.
Yeah. And, you know, like when I went to his concert at FedEx Forum, where it was probably a couple years ago at this point, the first one he had at FedEx Forum. And I believe the accompanying group, like his ensemble or whatever you want to call them, that his backup singers are called the Tennessee Kids. He doesn't call them like the Memphis Kids. He calls them the Tennessee Kids. But he is a part owner of the Grizzlies, right? And he's, you know, I don't know. It's whack. I'm not going to strip him of his Memphis stock, but he's certainly not like Penny Hardaway, for instance. Like, you can't view him in that regard.
He's not even Jerry Lawler.
No, you're right. No, he's not.
He's like I don't even know who to compare him to, but I'm going to be honest with you. I think it's whack to become an investor and actually like invest money into bringing something to Tennessee that's not Memphis. I mean, I just think that's
really?
Whack. I think that's whack as hell. I mean,
Here's the thing,
Nashville,
though.
Doesn't need anything else. They have everything they need over there. Okay? I mean, they got the soccer team.
Realistically, Memphis is just not – it's not a candidate for a Major League Baseball team. Nashville, whether they have Justin Timberlake or not in the ownership group in Nashville, the sense is Nashville is going to get a Major League Baseball team sooner rather than later. I do think having a name like Timberlake associated with it, certainly it doesn't hurt. But they brought on Dave Dombrowski, like the guy who put together the Tigers World Series team and the Marlins World Series team way back when. Like, there's momentum. Like, this Nashville bid had a lot of momentum before Justin Timberlake added his name to it.
But I feel like you have to almost recuse yourself because you're a Memphian, right? You're a Memphian. And he's not just like a, oh, hey, man, it would be great. It would be real great if Nashville got a major league. I mean, he's investing, you know? Maybe I'm being unfairly harsh on him. I look at this and I'm just like, really?
I think you're right in viewing him as not like a, you know, clearly he's not a loyal Memphian. But he still was born in Millington, was raised here, has done some nice things for the community over the years. Like, I think you can view him in a different light than some of the loyal Memphians out there. But I don't think it means you have to like hate him just because he's, you know, he's done some things for Nashville now, and he lives in Nashville now, or not lives, but has a home in Nashville and not here. I mean, like, he refurbished Miramichi out in Millington. You know, he's part of the Grizzlies ownership group. He's given back to the community at various times. I think hating him is too harsh, or like really being against him is too harsh. But I do think you can view him. He's more of a. I don't know how the best way to describe it, but he's just not. You don't view him in the same light as one of the great Memphians.
Well, he's a very passive Memphian, right? Like, he has not taken an active role in really bettering a whole great lot about it. But whatever, it's his life. He gets to, you know, do whatever he wants to do, and that's what he's choosing to do. Hey, Mark, man, we appreciate the time as always, man. Thanks.
All right, guys, no problem.
Yep.
Maybe it's more Jessica that's pulled him away.
Oh, we're going to blame it on his wife.
On Beal.
You know,
because here's my theory before you get to yours, Brad. My father moved to Belize much in part because it was his wife's dream, you see?
And not his.
Not so much his. Now, of course, he wanted retirement. He wanted a beautiful place. But his wife's plan was Belize. And that's a big reason why, I mean, hell, it's more than half the reason why he's there, right? You want to keep that wife, you want to keep her happy.
Mm.
So I just wonder if, when Jessica's in Memphis, right, if it's, let's get back to Brentwood. You know, not to go with your sort of his disassociation,
right,
as it's become with the town that was naturally felt like happening. But I just wonder, too, if Jessica deserves any blame in this, because sometimes the wife
is
making the decisions. And remember, he was in a position because of what happened in what? New Orleans. Well, you got to make sure that wife is happy right now, right?
This man is not letting JT live down the New Orleans incident.
Remember that, right? He had to apologize for it, right? Remember the whole picture and all that stuff with the girl that was in the
movie? You don't hold hands with somebody, not your wife.
You don't have to just apologize if that's all you did, right? I mean,
no.
He have been holding hands with her under the table, John, playing footsie? We think that's as far as it went. But to that point,
I don't know.
Right now, it's all about making sure Jessica Biel is happy, right, and in a happy marriage. And you're going to, you know, maybe Jessica ain't as comfortable in Memphis as she is in Brentwood. That could be part of it.
Okay. I think you're exactly
right.
Just
proposing that.
I think he's exactly right. I listened to you talk about it, John, and I think what you're feeling is something I feel, which is Memphis could use Justin Timberlake more than Nashville could.
Well, that is exactly how I feel. I'm not trying to, like, disparage his character. But
no, I get what you're saying.
But I feel a great sort of obligation to Memphis as a Memphis.
Right.
But, right? Like, I feel like
Lawler and Penny, you point out, Lawler and Penny are both faces of Memphis.
They are.
And they take that as a responsibility, obligation.
And JT is bigger than both of them combined. Right?
Everywhere they go, it's that. And I don't, to even compare him to Lawler ain't even the same in terms of the association with Memphis.
I don't know who the comparison is, honestly. But, like, I just feel like most Memphians that I talk to, I mean, they feel this responsibility to the community and to the city to make it better. And I'm not saying that JT has not done that in spots, but I think what is undeniable over the last several years, and we've had this conversation before, but it just feels like he has pulled away. And that's a little disappointing to me.
I mean, Aretha was born here.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah,
it's a little disappointing to me because
do we still associate her? You know what I'm saying?
I don't know. Kind of.
God rest her soul.
Her house is a landmark,
but it was just a house, right? You know what I'm saying? It became Detroit more so than.
Right? No, that's true. But I mean, at least there was a valid. I mean, he just moved to Nashville because.
I said, do they get too big for little old Memphis? I guess would be the question I'm asking when I compare him to Aretha.
I mean, did Elvis in this get area too big?
No, I think for us to get where we need to go as a city, we need the Penny Hardaway's to really lock into our city more.
Well, I don't know that he can do it.
Penny has done
not
everything.
Him. No. I'm talking about the Penny Hardaway's
like
of
him.
Memphis. Yes, yeah. In other words, if you are like a Penny Hardaway or you're a Justin Timberlake, I mean, he gave the Miramichi thing he sold. You know, he kind of tried that, invested in the community.
Yeah, I thought he's out of that.
Frankly, I don't think there's that kind of money to support those things around here.
Well, with all due respect, building out a golf course, I do not necessarily equate to helping out a community. I mean, I think
it employs people in this area.
It can.
Again, that's not saying giving back at all.
He's not
helping.
But I'm just saying, like, when I see the story, when I see the headline about Justin Timberlake joins as an investor to bring Major League Baseball to Nashville, that kind of triggers me a little bit.
I get it.
You know, I mean, I'm not saying you could bring Major League Baseball to Memphis.
That's not happening.
But, like, I'm sure there's something we can try to bring here improve or whatever the case may be. Nashville does not need Justin Timberlake's help, period.
Well, he's just signing on for a winner. Mark said, most folks have thought Nashville's going to be next or pretty soon for a Major League Baseball team. He's just signing on, co-signing on that because it's going to – again, is he the thing that puts that over the top? No, I doubt it. But he's signing on with a winner. And
that's a hell of a thing to say.
What does it do? It makes you look a lot better in Nashville when your name is associated with that thing. But that thing was already going to go through with or without him.
I don't mind.
They're due up for that.
I don't mind being good.
Is this rooted in just the hate for Nashville is the point?
Yes. It's a lot. It's a lot. Like, well, I look at Nashville.
Is it a hate or becoming a jealousy? Because that's what we can't get to, right?
As
we got ours, they got theirs.
Well, people always ask me, like, Sam's family will always ask me. They'll say, well, you know, don't you want to, you know, go national? Don't you want to do this, that, the other? And the answer is no. Like, I don't. I want to stay in Memphis for my entire life. I feel a great love for this place. And I want to help it out wherever I can. And it just confuses me a little bit when, you know, somebody that's from here, whether that's just JT or whoever, you know, is actively participating in the improvement of somewhere else when we so desperately need it here.
No, that's just completely fair. And with all due respect, tell the family you are national and you did it from Memphis. Much like Gary Parrish is national.
That's right.
And didn't have to go anywhere else, right? He's doing national from Memphis. You're in the exact same boat. So tell the fam, back off a little bit. You went national from Memphis.
Thank you.
You got both.
That's national Tiger basketball coverage.
100%. Writing for a national rag.
I will say this. Maybe I'm wrong-headed about this. Maybe I'm being too hard on him. I'm not trying to say that.
Well, there's been a disconnect. I'm imagining it's got several factors involved.
Right. It disappoints me that Keith Lee does not come back to the University of Memphis. That disappoints me. And I know he has his reasons.
Well, that seems to be a difference there,
it
right?
It is.
Does JT have any reason?
I'm sure he may. Like, in his mind, he may have some reasoning for, and perhaps it's not as
Keith has felt spurned.
Yes.
He's felt let on. He has his reasons.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a different
personal
dynamic.
Reason, right? Yeah. Different dynamic.
But that disappoints me as
the
well.
The overall picture of that he's not that association with Memphis isn't
there. It disappoints me that CDR doesn't. I mean, he did eventually come back, but there was a long time, 10, 12 years, where CDR did not come back to Memphis. And he has now, and he's done a lot of good things. But, you know, I always just want to see people just sort of, you know, where you come from, it's important. You know, it helps define who you are as a person.
Oh, yeah, I think he would absolutely still
Nashville had absolutely nothing to do with JT's success. Period. They didn't. Man, Memphis did. Memphis molded JT, period, point blank.
Dude just feels like it's a better place to live.
Well, it's not. It's awful. It's a horrible place. Well,
they don't have a soul.
They have no soul.
Soulless citizens just walking around.
If you stared into Nashville's eyes.
Titans football. Don't even have real football fans there in their own town.
Bro,
not enough to fill up the place with Titans fans.
The last time I had the misfortune of spending a night in Nashville, we went out to whatever that place is called, the Street Broadway, I think is what it's called. And
you tell me you haven't shopped in the Opryland Mall. Or
I don't shop.
I don't spend shopping dollars. You don't go
there.
To Nashville and shop. Okay.
All my shopping dollars are Amazon or Oak Court Mall.
Or here
in
Memphis. Oak Court, this man said.
Is it okay to love Nashville?
Love is a strong word as a Memphian.
We can't say that we love Nashville.
No,
you can't be living in this area and say you love Nashville.
I don't think so. I don't think the two things can coexist, unfortunately.
You could say you're indifferent, but when you get to start talking about loving it.
Yeah, dude, that's not natural.
Because there are Memphians who love the state of Tennessee, and there are a lot of Memphians who also say you can't love the state of Tennessee either.
I think a lot of people in Memphis consider it a separate entity.
Completely.
Yeah.
But
I was going to say, I spent the night in Nashville, and I'm walking down their most popular street, whatever it is. And
Broadway.
Broadway. And the Titans are playing that weekend. And I see these dudes in Patriots jerseys. And they're not playing the Patriots, but they were walking. The dude had a Gronk jersey on. I mean, and you saw a lot of that, like a lot of different. Like there's no inherent sort of born with pride in Nashville.
I think it's a lot like Las Vegas. I think Nashville is much like Las Vegas.
It wishes it was Las Vegas. It wishes.
The numbers suggest it's Las Vegas.
Well, it's grown. It's grown exponentially. There's no doubt.
But the tourism there is much like Vegas.
It ain't Vegas. It ain't Vegas. It ain't that. It's a wannabe city. I mean, it is. And that's fine.
Well, I will give them. I mean, there are some things they do right, and that NFL draft was pretty impressive.
It was.
Yes.
It was.
The turnout for it, the way it looked. I've probably changed the game for the way they'll do it going forward. We had a nice version of that with game day here. But they do some things.
Well, I'd like to bring something to Memphis. What would you like to bring? Let's join a coalition. We will invest $50 of our own money. What would we like to bring to Memphis? Would you like to bring, for example, would you like to bring Mrs.
Well, are we doing realistic?
Mrs.
Because you're not
Winters,
getting major
chicken.
League. Yeah, you're not
Mrs.
getting major
Winters,
league.
Would you like to bring Mrs. Winters
I told you
back?
What I'd bring. I'd already told you. You should know this. If you looked into your little crazy memory banks, you'd know what I want. And then not believe Nashville's got it. We don't have it because of the crystals here. And this market, they dominate. I want White Castle.
You want White Castle.
Oh,
bring
that's
White
a good
Castle
one.
To Memphis.
Yes, I love
Give
White Castle.
Give us a choice. Yeah. I know some may not think it's a choice, that it's really just the same burger that you get from crystals, but it's not. I don't know why White Castle is unable to get into this area. But I'd like to have that.
Well, you're gonna have to have that discussion.
Because to go back to Beale and that whole point, White Castle makes my wife happy. And so if I had that closer, she'd be a much happier woman.
What came first?
Put a nice little bow on that.
I think Crystal came first.
I want to tell you the White Castle came first.
Crystal was founded in 1932.
Dang.
Oh, okay. White Castle was founded in 1921.
Yeah. 7 years earlier, the original.
Crystal was founded in Chattanooga.
Can someone explain to me why this is a Crystal area and not?
Because it was founded in Chattanooga. It's a regional thing.
Yeah, White Castle's a little Midwest.
Nashville's got a White Castle. I'm fairly certain of it.
Nashville appropriates, as we have established. That's what they do.
Strip Molly.
Yeah, they appropriate culture from every other place. So you're not on board with Mrs. Winter's chicken? I missed that. You remember it was on Sycamore View and
I love Ms. Winter.
The biscuit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd like
The tea was the best thing.
I'd like
going
to. I would like
buy,
to announce
by the gallon.
That
it's
I
good,
am.
Yeah.
I am joining as an investor to bring Mrs. Winter's chicken.
I think we roll with that. We got a lot of chicken houses
back to
here.
Memphis. Not. I know we do, but Mrs.
But
Winter's
not to sell
though.
Gallon tea like Mrs. Winter's gallon.
That
tea.
Was a good day. Like when you
get
got like
three
the dinner
the
pack, the gallon of tea mm-hmm. with the biscuits. That was a special night.
But give me White Castle. You take Miss Winters. We'll have Memphis covered.
See, this is how you make Memphis great again, okay? This is how you do that. Anyway, thanks to Mark Giannotto for joining us on the show today. We'll come back. Lots more to come here on the show. Jason and John on Eternal FM, ESPN.
The Mid-South's number one for sports. WMFS-FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis. On the radio.com live and rewind anytime. Smart speakers just say play 92.9 ESPN.
Hey, it's Eric Hasseltine from the Memphis Grizzlies here to tell you about the best place to get a pre-owned vehicle in the entire Mid-South, and that is DeSoto Auto Sales. You can visit them on the web at DeSotoAutoSales.com or simply head on over to 5704 Goodman Road in Olive Branch. Why DeSoto Auto Sales, you say? Well, Well, their prices are fantastic. They've got over 250 cars on the lot, and they range in price from $8,000 to $30,000. Most of these cars are still under their factory warranty, so you're getting a great vehicle. They've been inspected 5 times before they hit the lot. And it's their selection. The lot is always changing. They're trying to get them out of there at the best price possible for their customers so they can clear the lot for more vehicles to come. Trucks, vans, sedans, SUVs, and they can finance you on the spot. They've got financing managers to explain all of your options. It's all there at DeSoto Auto Sales. You can see the entire selection at DeSotoAutoSales.com. Get a great car at a great price. What are you waiting for? Go to DeSotoAutoSales.com or hop on down to 5704 Goodman Road in Olive Branch and visit DeSoto Auto Sales today.
I'm consumer investigator Andy Wise. I'm a public figure, but I prefer my privacy. I prefer a handful of friends I keep close in places where I feel safe. That's why I joined the Crescent Club, 6075 Poplar Avenue inside the Crescent Center. The Crescent Club is my safe haven. I can just be myself, whether I'm holding a business meeting or a birthday party. The Crescent Club's entertainment rooms can be configured to meet any event or social distancing. Whether it's my wife, a best friend, or a client, they feel safe when I bring them to the Crescent Club. And let me tell you, there is great comfort knowing I can work quietly in one of the club's soundproof rooms, have Germantown native chef Billy Boyle whipped me up something he learned from one of the best kitchens on the planet, then closed the deal with a cocktail on the ninth floor watching the sunset over East Memphis. For membership, call Kathleen Muck at 901-684-1010.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.